Good morning, guys. You know, we've had a good, what, 6-7 days here at Minnesota State in Mankato, and today is no different. Our walkthrough went well. We really are looking forward to this afternoon's practice. We'll once again hit a few different situations. The scrimmage that we had on Saturday night was really good for us. We were able to put some things on tape that we can coach off of that we hope will help us to improve. And the support we got from our fans, man, you can't say enough about it. Now we got to be able to carry a little bit of that momentum through this week. It's a short week as we're preparing for our first scrimmage game against an opponent. But the only downside about that scrimmage was what happened with Greg Childs. I mean, his injury, you know, was tough. The fact that he ruptured both patella tendons and he's going to have surgery on both knees. I mean, that's a hard one. We're actually going to have that surgery today. So we don't know what the long-term prognosis is. We're all hoping for the best. But our players, I mean, it was hard for them. Obviously, it's hard for Greg and his family. We're all, you know, pulling for him through this situation. And then, of course, over the, well, I guess just yesterday, we got the sad news regarding Garrett Reed, Andy Reed's son. Received a text this morning from Andy and just trying to encourage him and he and his family through this situation. For sure, Rick Spielman will be at the funeral to represent our ball club. And if I'm able to get a flight, I, you know, I'm going to try to do the same based on the time of the service. But a difficult time for the Reed family, our organization. You know, we have them in our thoughts and our prayers, and we're all hoping for the best as they deal with a very, very difficult situation. Garrett was a great kid. Got a chance to get to know him just as a little boy growing up and being around our team, being around our facility, and just a hard thing to experience. So, but we're looking forward to this afternoon and getting back and practicing some football.
Did Childs have any ligament damage in addition to the patella tendons?
No, what I was told was ruptured patella tendon and nothing else.
Have you spoken to him?
I have.
But
at the time, it was after the scrimmage, and we were sitting down, you know, in a side room. He was distraught, as you would expect. I mean, it's hard. But he really had a frame of mind where, because he's experienced adversity before, where he really feels as though he's going to be able to bounce back from this. He's going to work extremely hard and get back to play again. That was his attitude, and those were the words that he shared with me. Coach, I'll be back. You know, I'm going to do just like I did before. I'm going to work as hard as I can. I'll be back out here to help the Vikings. And I said, wow. I mean, that's great attitude under the circumstances. Great attitude.
What sort of timeline do you think is realistic for him?
It's hard to say, you know. Just in talking with Eric Sugarman, our head trainer, they only know of two cases, this being the second. One of the case before this where a player ruptures both patella tendons on the same play, and that was Wendell Davis, you know, a number of years ago at Vet Stadium on that turf. So you know, things are different today time-wise, so we're hoping that it won't be as long as it took Wendell to get back on the field, but it's hard for me to say at this point, today after they have the surgery.
What's the biggest difficulty in rehabbing when you don't have a good leg to stand on?
Well, he's got a tough road ahead of him. There's no question about it. I mean, when you're talking about both knees, I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. But part of what helps a guy make it back, if he's able to make it back from an injury like that, is approaching your rehab with a right attitude and right focus. And, you know, some of the advances that have been made medically sometimes help as well. But your attitude and your focus in this situation is probably what's going to get you through some dark days. There are going to be some tough days ahead for him. And I mean, it's going to be tough.
Has he mostly been just completely off his feet the last couple days, or
yes.
Is he in a wheelchair?
Yeah, you know, he's not moving around a whole lot, but you know, we're trying to. Well, today being the surgery, won't be moving around a whole lot more after this either for a few days.
But what have you seen from Stephen Burton, Manny Arsenault, Devin Aroma should do that where they can maybe capitalize on this window of opportunity?
Stephen is coming along. You know, he missed those early days with his toe, but we're seeing some progress. There's still some things based on what we saw in the scrimmage on Saturday night and practice on Saturday night that he needs to continue to work on. But he's coming along. You know, he's at a good pace for us. He shows some things in the OTAs. He shows some things in the limited time he got a season ago that he has the potential to be a factor in our offense. So we're hoping that he'll keep coming, both on special teams as well as a wide receiver. He showed some kick return ability, and he showed the ability to make the hard catch. With Devin, you know, I think he's much, much improved. One of the things we wanted to see out of Devin was improve route running and showing that he can make those hard catches on a consistent basis. With his length and his speed, we like some of the things he's able to do, and he's beginning to show that more and more at practice. For Michael, it's a window opportunity. You know, he's the veteran of the group, and we rely a lot on his experience. You know, he and Kristen had developed a rapport prior to his injury a season ago, and we're going to need that presence along with his size to make that difficult catch, even when he's covered. So we got to continue to see him, you know, come along physically, and these preseason games will be a part of that.
Besides bringing back A.J. Love for depth, do you anticipate looking outside the building for anything else at that position?
Well, we'll definitely be scouring the waiver wires and taking a look at what's out there and you know, seeing how we can upgrade our team. Not to say that we're going to do anything, but we'll definitely be looking.
How's Emerson Griffin look to you as he transitions?
You know, he's been kind of sporadic. You know, he's had some good moments, and he's had some other moments where we'd like to come a little bit faster. But we're going to give him a little time and see how he does throughout this week and even in the San Francisco game, and then we'll sit down and evaluate things, you know, after that game. But he's shown sparks at time that he can get this done at the linebacker position. We've also, you know, still keeping him in our third down package, as you guys have seen in practice, where we'll have him rushing as well. But he's shown that he has a chance at the linebacker position. So we'll continue to monitor this week, and then we'll sit down and talk about it after the San Francisco game.
How about Toby running back? Is he going to get the lion's share of the carries, or on Friday, what are we going to see?
Well, we'll get him in there some, but we're not going to hand it off to him a lot, not in the preseason. No, he'll have limited reps for sure.
How's your luck?
He's been looking well. I mean, he's practicing well, has great confidence in what we're doing and what we're asking of him. He doesn't seem like a guy who's ready to settle for being a backup running back, which is a good thing. He's preparing himself as if he's going to have to start against Jacksonville, which is the way we want to see it happen. And he's practicing the right way, so we'll see how it goes.
Have you seen enough from Costco to make him a full-time number one guy now, or are you going to bring up DeGear or somebody else to rotate like you were with Schwartz?
Yeah, we're going to, you know, let Chris get some reps over there along with letting Joe Berger get some reps as well. We're not quite ready to say that Brandon is the guy opening up against Jacksonville. We want to see him in some game situations against other teams in the preseason and then make a declaration as we go. So we'll continue to have some competition at that position.
What is the time frame for Jeff Schwartz right now?
We'll know after the surgery. You know, it could be anywhere from 4 weeks to 8 to 10 weeks. So we won't know anything until after the surgery.
When is the surgery?
Scheduled tomorrow.
So would the pup be an option for him?
Pardon me?
Would the pup be a good option for him approaching week one, or?
Potentially, you know, we'll see what happens once we find out some information from the surgery.
Plus, you mentioned in your receiving core, you've got a lot of guys that are going to have an opportunity here in camp. You're going to look around outside. But at this point, with Jerome being down the first three games, I mean, how limited are you going to be in the passing game, especially early on?
Well, some of it depends on, you know, how well and how improved Devin is, along with some of the guys that we have at the receiver position. You know, what's Michael's role going to be? But we still have Percy. It's just a matter of solidifying that other guy outside. You know, we think Jarius has a chance to potentially help us as well. We don't want to exclude him. But we still think we have some options on our current roster without having to just bring a guy in for the sake of bringing a guy in. We want to bring in someone who can upgrade the position. And if that's the case, then we'll be better. But we don't want to just say, let's bring in another body.
Assuming you're not going to expose Gerhardt a whole lot in this game, you're a little short at halfback, aren't you, with Todman out?
Depending on if Jordan is not able to go. You know, we don't know that yet, but we still want to be able to see Lex run. We still want to be able to take a look at Derek. So we have some options, and we want to see Matt Asiato take some carries. The Imperial, even though he's a fullback, you know, we'd like to have Jordan out there, but we'll see.
Follow up to that with your running game with the, like, who's looking strong for blocking? Your running backs, tight ends, who's going to be strong in that running game as far as the blocking perspective?
We like some of the things that Jerome Felton has done in practice. D'Imperio has improved from a season ago at the fullback position. We want to find out, can Matt Asiato perform as a fullback? And we're also moving some of our tight ends around. You know, we're taking a look at Red Ellison as well, seeing what he can do as a lead blocker. So, you know, we're doing some different things to try to solidify that position. Adrian does a great job when he has a lead blocker, so we want to make sure we get the right guy in that role, and we have some candidates.
Adrian's obviously at his hearing today. I mean, do you expect anything to change with him this week as far as cycling in, or are you just going to wait till after San Francisco to maybe get him into the full-time mix?
Yeah, I don't anticipate us doing anything different than what we did a week ago with him. We'll continue to go through this process and then evaluate it after the San Francisco game, but the plan right now is to let him continue to go through the work that he's going through with our athletic trainer and our strength coach.
Did DeMarcus Love end up having a scope or anything, or what's his prognosis?
We think we may have DeMarcus back in another week or two. No surgery needed, just a matter of getting his strength back in his pec, and he's coming along, what I've been told. So we'll see where he is after this ball game, and we may have him back next week. All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Austin.